The Retirement Resource, Episode 20.
Using a vulnerability model to navigate a successful retirement.
Welcome to The Retirement Resource, the one place committed to providing the information, resources, and tools you need to navigate the often complex world of retirement planning with confidence and clarity. We're going to discuss both the financial and non-financial aspects of a successful retirement, and we're going to have fun.
Hello, I'm Bo Henderson, your host, and today we're going to talk about something a little bit different, a little unique. We're going to talk about using a vulnerability model to help navigate a successful retirement. And my guest today is retirement coach, Douglas Passanese. Now, Doug has a background in adult education and international development. He's a retirement coach based in New York City, and he himself is a retiree of the International Civil Service. So, Doug, welcome to the Retirement Resource.
Thank you, Bo. Great to be with you.
So let's dig into this. So I was fascinated when I saw this topic, using a vulnerability model to address a successful retirement. Tell me a little bit more about what is that? What is a vulnerability model and how do we utilize it?
Well, basically, there are lots of steps that one can go through when approaching retirement, but the vulnerability comes when one is able to embrace the fact that things are going to change and that we are not in control of everything that will come our way, especially once we leave work. And so what I'm trying to do is look at different models and how they can assist retirees look at the different aspects of retirement, because personally, I know that this particular model has helped me.
So what we're doing is we're taking successful existing models that apply to other areas or other maybe even problems or things we're looking for solutions for and applying it to retirement.
That's right. And if you look at the types of models that are out there, even those that may have to do with rehabilitation or recovery or other types of things, if you look at the content inside of that and the types of things that individuals have to face, they can be very useful for retirees who find themselves at the end of a working career and looking in the mirror saying, what's next and who am I without my work?
Right. That loss of identity that we see.
That's right.
Well, so how would we approach this or how would we use this? Okay, we want to utilize some of these tools or techniques or models. Where would we even start?
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you take some types of models like 12 steps or other types of models, even when you work with teams and executives and so on, the very first thing one would look at is, you know, finding purpose and value with your life. And while that sounds rather trite, if you as an individual have had your value and your purpose defined by your job, mm-hmm. As you know, we all do this and we say, you know, what do you do? Well, I am X, you know, I am a chief of staff. I am an engineer. I am whatever. Then over the years that may begin to define you. And certainly I know in my case, once that definition was gone, the purpose of myself, Douglas,
right,
was lost. And it was very, very difficult to find that without the confines of a work environment.
So let's go with your story, because it's a perfect example. What helped you find that?
Well, I would say I'm still in the process of, mm-hmm. of finding that. It's now been 3 years since I've left that job in the International Civil Service. And I would say that there are a couple of things that I've seen for myself and that I recommend now with my clients,
okay,
in order to move ahead. And one certainly is to take the time and find what moves you.
Okay.
It's so important because we get so lost in our work environment. I, for example, as a single person, you know, work is a lot of my life.
Right.
And so when you are taken away from that, you know, finding your purpose and who's behind the position that you hold at work is really key. And it takes some time to uncover why it was that you got into that line of work to begin with. why it is you love or hated your job that you were at. You know, what is it that's pushing you or moving you, or what are the values that you're holding in that? And once you do that, it's so important to surround yourself. I call it a retirement team. It's not really a team, but people who are around you who understand what it is you're going through.
Right.
I had an interesting discussion with, I believe someone was actually on your show before, Bob Laura, and he uses the term of disenfranchised grief. And that's so important to me, because there is an understanding or a lack of understanding by others of the grief you feel. And there is a grieving process,
right,
leaving work.
I think what happens, Doug, is we actually grieve our working life or that life we're leaving, because what I see a lot of times is we'll walk into a situation to where, okay, I'm working one day, and then I wake up one day and I don't have the structure. I don't have the same relationships necessarily. And I think that's just, you're right. I think we grieve our past life in a way.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's interesting, because when you're at work, you don't realize that the folks who are around you, and I'm not talking about your intimate friends who are close by, but the people who you spend your day with,
right,
that 8 or 10 hours a day, those people are no longer with you every day.
Right.
And if those are the people who you go to for advice and go to chat about what's going on in your life and so on, and those are gone, you know, I've had clients say things like, you know, I feel like I'm invisible.
Right.
Or I feel like I lost part of myself, because I don't know who I am anymore outside of that particular group of folks who I've associated with for these past years. You know, it's very funny where you have clients who may have hated their work, mm-hmm, but they miss it.
Right.
You know, so there's that dichotomy of trying to find a place, trying to find your place. And this is where this vulnerability model comes in, because we are all vulnerable, and you have to embrace that going forward, because there are no answers. And, you know, the older one gets, the more vulnerable one becomes, because things will change. Health changes, family situation change, et cetera. So it's just important to embrace that.
Well, as we're kind of walking through this, so what I'm almost seeing is we're making a parallel between an actual something like a 12-step program that might have a, you know, you might think you're trying to fix a problem, but we're kind of making a parallel for steps that we can utilize to actually not, we're not necessarily trying to fix something that's broken, we're trying to successfully navigate a new phase of life.
That's exactly right. There's no implication in fixing what's broken, but there is a very nice parallel. And I know this personally, because a friend of mine actually was going through a recovery process. Mm-hmm. And frankly, what he was going through and what I was going through in my retirement, not going to work, were so similar. We actually talked for hours about what we were going to do and how do you exist. I mean, he happened to be talking about a substance. I was talking about work. But feelings and the issues we were facing were very, very similar. And that's why I think it's a useful thing to remember. If you look at things like AA or other types of programs, I mean, what do you find there? People who are looking for a community. Mm-hmm. And that community has people who have gone through similar things that you've gone through or in a similar situation that you are in. If you look at that model, what do you find? You find a sponsor.
Right.
Someone who you can call and talk to. In our parlance, that would be a coach who's helping you, as you said, navigate through all these different components, from your purpose to the structure of your day to how you're building new networks when your work network is gone, and the value you find in yourself going forward. Because, you know, as you know, Bo, we may be retired from our current job, but that may be a 20 or 30 year period of time.
Right.
And if you have no value or sense in there, or no network of folks outside your past job, then in fact, that can be a very lonely time. And that's why we try and coach around looking at new networks and options for value going forward.
Well, something I think is fascinating about this parallel or this analogy, so to speak, is, you know, I mean, it's obvious to me One, because of the work that I believe in and how, you know, we met in a retirement coaches association. So I believe in that work. So that's one thing, that to work with a retirement coach that might have some tools to help you think through things proactively, think through things ahead of time. But the second part I like, when you're thinking about, say, a 12-step group or something, having others in a similar, like your friend, you described that conversation, having others going through the same thing that are talking about real issues. Because it's amazing to me, Doug, when somebody says, you know what, I'm scared, or you know what, I'm lonely, other people will speak up. But if not, I'm afraid in a lot of cases, the retirement world is sold this lie in magazines and TV, like retirement. Say, it's sailing on a yacht with your hair blowing in the wind, not a care in the world. And sometimes that's just not the reality.
Well, that's right. And you have folks, you know, who have told me, you know, look, I'm afraid to tell my friends that I'm so unhappy in retirement.
Right.
Because they're embarrassed, or they're ashamed, in fact, or they may have lots of money, but they're very unhappy. And so there is this sense of loss in there, and not wanting to share that with others. And when you have a community of folks around you, and I said, that doesn't mean having to go to a meeting. It can be all sorts of different types of alliances that you build with folks who are in that same period of life, really does help to share stories and share feelings about how do I manage this going forward. And Bo, as you know, in retirement, when one doesn't attend to those, it's very easy to fall into, you know, depression and other sorts of things, because you haven't really taken the time to set those structures up for yourself to have a very happy, successful, and productive retirement or, you know, period of time past your former job.
Well, Doug, do you have any advice for? Say that's resonating with some of our listeners, like, okay, I'm winding down work, or I'm done with work, and I do realize a lot of my identity and my meaning was tied up in my structure, for that matter. Any advice or any ideas for how do we maybe find some things to redefine that identity, such as work again, a different kind of work, volunteering, whatever that might be? Any ideas?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, one of the things I find most interesting with many clients is not only defining work and work ahead, but defining leisure and what that means. Because, you know, golf can be leisure until golf becomes work.
Right.
And it's very, very interesting to hear folks who, I had one client who said, you know, I'm retiring in 3 months from now. And I said, okay, and what does your retirement day look like? And she says, well, I want to bake. Huh. And I said, well, that's fantastic. Should you want to open a bake shop, or you want to do, what would you like to do that? She goes, no, I just want to get up and bake. And so I said, well, but what does your day look like a month from now? How many hours a day will you bake? And she had not actually thought about baking as leisure for a certain amount of time, but perhaps not her life meaning. Right. So there's a very interesting dynamic between leisure and defining leisure, especially for those who may not have taken a lot of time for leisure during their life,
right?
To see what leisure actually means to you, what work or continuing working will do, or as many do as well, and that is volunteering and giving back, which is such an important element in all research shows that giving back after you retire, in other words, finding value by helping others, it has an unbelievable impact on happiness and contentment levels going forward through in retirement.
Very good. Well, one of these things is we describe this transition and we describe this process. It's just that. It really, retirement is a process. And I think a lot of times where people get caught off guard is they work one day and they stop, and the next day they're retired and there was no transition. There was no setup time. There was no working with a coach. I mean, working with a retirement coach is really a newer phenomenon. So I guess the reality that we can tell somebody, if we're going to be realistic and be real, which I think is what people are looking for, is that there's going to be change.
Yes. And this is the whole vulnerability model there. You know, embrace your vulnerability, because things are going to change around you. Things, your situation with your kids will change. If you have older parents, that's going to change. Moving and or going to retirement communities, aging, health, relationships, all those things will change. And you know what? It doesn't have to be bad, that change. It can be a great change and an exciting change if, in fact, you are willing to be vulnerable and embrace your vulnerability through those different stages. I would say, Bo, that probably one of the most important things is not, if it's possible, not to get to retirement day and then say, oops, I think it's time to plan. Right. But actually step back a few years before your retirement and say, you know, these things are coming up and they're okay. Research shows that men particularly have a difficult time talking about these things. Women have actually an easier time going through retirement. But, you know, to plan early and to look at, you know, where's my next network going to come from?
Right.
Where's my retirement team? Who is that retirement team exactly? And who are the people who understand what it means to leave work and who are not? And who can I surround myself with? Who's my coach? Who can I call and say, you know, I'm having a really bad day. What's, you know, what can we, some steps we can take to get through this? The earlier I think that happens, the more prepared we are.
Well, let's think about that. So we talk about this model, having a sponsor. Maybe I have a sponsor in my 12-step program. Let's do that. Let's do the corollary to having a retirement coach.
Yes.
The role there.
Well, the role there, you know, if you have a sponsor, that person doesn't tell you what to do. That person doesn't tell you, you know, what the answer is for you. The person is there to help guide you, give their experience, give you some things to think about, some options that have worked for them, some options that have worked for other folks. It's really a guide, similar to a coach, to help you look at what things are possible ahead. And so important in the AA world, for example, to have that sponsor. So you always have someone available to go through and discuss and move forward with plans and your view of what your future looks like. And the same thing with retirement. Coaching is so important. And again, the research shows that, you know, you can have all your pieces in place, but if there's no one there to support you along the way, it becomes really difficult.
Well, and let's to our listeners today, what I'd like to say is if you're in that process, you're transitioning, it's not at all uncommon. I will talk with someone and they're actually scared of the upcoming retirement, because like what they know, they've got a lot to figure out. They know it's going to be a big shift, know it's going to be a big change. And maybe having that sponsor, so to speak, or coach to help you navigate that is a great step. I recommend it to everybody. And if you want more information, go to an organization that Doug and I both belong to, called the Retirement Coaches Association. That's found at retirementcoachesassociation.org. I'll have contact information on our show page for Doug if you have questions about his journey and kind of some of the things he's went through. But you brought up a good point as we're kind of winding things down, Doug. We talked a lot about the non-financial aspects of retirement, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't just bring up, what's the role of money in all this?
Well, yes, of course, that's very important. And I don't want to downplay the importance of money and how one has a livelihood into retirement. I would say two things about money. One is that with my clients, we really talk about one's relationship to money, how you feel about money, how you've lived your life around money. And there are lots of things that come up about your feelings and how to move ahead with money, a lot of money or a little money, and basically come out at the end and saying, you know, this is where I am with my money. And you know what? I'm enough with that. I'm good with that. This does not, however, negate the fact that one needs a financial advisor in order to maximize all the possibilities of financial stability during retirement. Because if you take the discussion we just had about all the complexities that exist and you add finance to that, of course, all you're doing is making that picture bigger and more of a burden on yourself. So certainly, prime and key is to get the money situation together, but you can talk about how that impacts you during your sessions with your coach, if in fact that helps. But certainly a financial advisor is needed.
Well, and it goes back to build that team, that support structure around you. And this is something, too, that I think is a very important point to bring up, is a good financial advisor will work closely with your retirement coach. Right. And vice versa, a good retirement coach will work with your financial advisor. And if you have that dynamic, you truly have a team that, lo and behold, they actually communicate with each other. So you're not getting conflicting, competing pieces of advice that could leave you in the middle again, confused and not knowing what to do. So think of that as building that infrastructure, that support, that team. And that can extend to attorneys, accountants, and everything else. But build that team, but don't neglect the non-financial aspects that we spent most of the time today talking about, because here's the other side of that, Doug, I've found, because I kind of wear both hats as a long-term retirement planning advisor and a retirement coach. What I've seen is we could have a perfectly mathematical financial plan, retirement plan, a strategy that would work beautifully. But if we don't address these other items, doesn't mean that you're going to stick with it. And a lot of times it'll blow it up. So it's really important to balance the two.
Absolutely. And again, as you rightly said, I mean, that is the whole purpose of getting that retirement team together. And that has to do with friends and close colleagues and people who can deal with your retirement. But it also has to do with technical folks around financing, legal, estate planning, all those sorts of things also are part of that retirement team. The main thing is, you know, get your purpose together, find a team, get a coach that help you along, and, you know, have a great, productive and wonderful retirement. That's the whole purpose.
Well, and you just tied up. I was going to ask you for some action items, and you really just summarized it right there. And I want to thank you, Doug, for talking with us, not only sharing your work as a retirement coach, but your personal experience and the things you're finding as you. I love the vulnerability you showed us today when you said, you know what? It's not perfect. I'm in process too. So I really appreciate that. And I hope you'll come back and share some more of the journey with us in the future.
Bo, thanks so much for the opportunity. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
I appreciate it. And just a couple things I can say, and Doug summed it up beautifully, but if I could think of anything to roll out of this episode with, it's make it a priority to raise your own retirement IQ and think outside of the box. What I mean is read articles about depression in retirement, grieving in retirement, how relationships are impacted by retirement. Raise that financial IQ or that retirement IQ, both financial and non-financial, and then look into and think about finding a person that has that coach role that can help you navigate that with some sort of neutrality and just a neutral third party sometimes to work with and know that you can call. I've seen that make all the difference in the world.
Yep, couldn't agree with you more, Bo.
So we'll see you next time when we talk more about the financial aspects, the non-financial aspects, all the tips, tools, and resources you need to navigate a successful retirement right here on the Retirement Resource.